Welcome to another edition of the Rebel Room Podcast. I'm Ray Brewer, along with Ryan Green. Folks, we usually talk
fire, Ray. Biggest game of the year.
No, I was
good.
I wanted to be calm. I didn't want to come in with this streak of fire. The Mac's gonna be rocking.
See, but that's when you're at your best.
I know. But I was trying to be the host. I was trying to be calm and cool and collective. Bottom line, big game. BYU Thomas and Mack Center Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. The game of all games, makes or breaks the season, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not going to go that far, but this is huge. UNLV has owned BYU, obviously, at the MAC since 2005. They haven't lost to them there in the last 2 years with Fredette in a prominent role. They're 4-1 against the Cougars. So, this is big mostly because it's the first game of conference play. And last year in the conference opener, UNLV lost by 4 at BYU in a game that they really had won with about 5 minutes left. And, UNLV will tell you how that did kind of set the tone, and they were chasing the rest of the way in in Mountain West play, and BYU was near the top.
Yeah, you win this game, not only are you atop the league standings, mm-hmm. you put arguably one of the league's best teams toward the bottom.
Yeah.
So with that, and there's just so many subplots of this game, and I think that's why it's real interesting. Okay, BYU last year in the league, will the rivalry continue? You know, is this the last time UNLV is going to play BYU at the MAC? I mean, nothing's guaranteed with the league tournament. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be the last time for a little while, it sounds like. UNLV's schedule for the next couple of years is already pretty jammed in the non-conference. And, Kruger and Coach Lon Kruger and Dave Rose both want to keep it going from what has been said in the last few months. But it's going to take some time, I think, to keep it going. But I would expect the series to continue down the road. But it's really unfortunate that the Mountain West is going to lose out on this because it's really developed into probably the league's best basketball rivalry in the last couple of years.
It really has. And as the rivalry's grown, the league has kind of matured a little bit as well. I mean, mm-hmm. You look at the AP poll, San Diego State's 5, BYU 15, UNLV 25. It's becoming a real quality league. And losing BYU is obviously going to hurt. I guess my thing is these BYU games are just absolutely a ball.
Yeah.
You know, and you've been courtside of every UNLV game arguably the last 3 years, give or take maybe one or two. Mm-hmm. What is it about BYU-UNLV? Is it because they have the same style of play, or is it because the fans don't get along? What is it that makes this rivalry, like, can't miss?
Well, look, it started with the because I think if you look at the perceptions of the two schools, it's the two extremes. You know, BYU is the religious institution where everyone feels, you know, and whether this is true or not, but a lot of people think that BYU looks down on the rest of the league. UNLV looked at as, you know, being in Sin City and kind of tied to everything that comes with that. So it really is the two extremes of, I guess if you want to go that far, of society. And that's kind of interesting. And granted, you know, BYU, I don't think is as stuck up as people think, and I don't think – and obviously UNLV is not as, you know, renegade as everybody thinks. You know, they're kind of the same, but they play the same style. And the fan base, it's really been fueled by the fan bases who kind of live off who kind of like to say the other team hates us because of those perceptions. So I think the fan bases have kind of fueled this, and the play on the court has had it to a level where it can be looked at as a big rivalry. And, why it's taken off more than, say, UNLV New Mexico or BYU New Mexico or San Diego State and anyone, you know, I don't know, but I think that probably has something to do with it.
See, my theory goes back.
Everything mixes in.
My theory goes back to the league tournament. Was it 3 years ago? UNLV down by double digits in the second half. They rally back and win. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously the game's on UNLV's home court. You know, folks storm the court. There's some things in the stands afterwards. And I think that little moment, as bad as it was, kind of took the rivalry to another level.
Exactly, something a bit more that has to do with the fan bases. They've really driven this thing the last few years, and like we said, there's been some great play on the floor that's helped push it along. And add it all together, it's turned into the best rivalry in the Mountain West, and one of the best in the West Coast, honestly.
Yeah, only time will tell if tomorrow's game is an addition to that. But UNLV comes in 12-2. Mm-hmm. They were good in non-league. I thought they were going to lose 3 games. I told you that the last time we chatted. But the 12-2 could be a little deceiving because they were kind of hot around Thanksgiving, and they fizzled a little bit. They've had a hard time making their shots. They're not getting a lot of production from the inside. They're consistently out-rebounded. And I think they have a hard time guarding the perimeter. Mm-hmm. Well, BYU with Jimmer shoots the ball real well from the outside. Is this UNLV team ready to play BYU at this part in the season, or are those deficiencies I mentioned going to kind of stay in the way, do you think?
See, I think they're ready. I don't know if I agree with the tough time defending the perimeter, but they do have a tough time right now defending the three. They're, you know, but as far as their backcourt pressure on ball handlers, it's still excellent, as good as it was early in the year. Making shots makes things look a lot better, and earlier in the year that was proven because, you know, their interior guys still really weren't scoring and rebounding consistently earlier in the year, but when the outside guys are making shots, you don't need it as much. I think they're ready because, honestly, I think BYU's struggling a little bit. You know, they're 14-1, but they really haven't played much of a schedule. They, you know, their toughest true road game they lost at UCLA. You know, yeah, they smacked up Arizona, but again, that was in Utah. I don't know that they're really as proven.
And they shot 60% that day.
Yeah, I don't know that they're really as proven, you know, battle tested as UNLV this year. And also, they're relying on Jimmer Fredette a little more than they have in the past. They're really the guys around him haven't played to the level that maybe they did the last 2 years. I think if you look at the numbers, they pretty much agree with that.
Okay, Jimmer Fredette, you know, is one of the top players in the league. Mm-hmm. So is Trevon Willis. Mm-hmm. Ironically, they guard each other when UNLV and BYU plays. Reading your story on the site today, it seems like Trevon is more than ready to go, and he probably is maybe wants to prove that he's better than Jimmer. What's the key in this? I think Trevon's a better defender and I and a gamer, no doubt about it. How does the matchup between star player and star player, how's that going to pan out, do you think?
Well, I think Trevon is starting to play to the level that he was at a year ago when, you know, he actually probably could have stolen a couple votes for player of the year in the league. But, you know, they're not going to be matched up entirely exclusively on each other, and I pointed that out today. You know, it's going to be a group effort on Fredette, but, you know, Trevon takes more individual pride in this matchup than I think any matchup he sees in the Mountain West all year. And you know, that with that said, where they need him is on the offensive end. They need him to really be a calming influence, to score in a variety of ways and be a consistent force, because maybe everybody else can become more consistent around him, because consistency has been the biggest issue of late. Trevon plays his best against these guys, and on the defensive end, he does need to contribute, because he's a big reason why Fredette has struggled so mightily in his career against him. He really, in the last five games in the last 2 years, when Fredette's been in the prominent role, he's only shot the ball at 32% against UNLV, and he has as many assists as he does turnovers. So they got to keep that going.
A good point. I think a lot of his points come from the foul line.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
he's very good at doing that.
There's a big conspiracy theory that he gets a lot of good calls. Question, wager, proposition, over and under 12.5 foul attempts. Jimmer Fredette.
Over. I think he does get a lot of calls, but it's because he knows how to earn them.
And you don't even hesitate there.
I was talking about this with a couple of other media guys in the city yesterday. And, you know, we were saying there's two guys in this league where you watch them play, and as far as their demeanor and how they can get calls from refs and get themselves to the line and get what they want, you look at them and say, that's a pro. Kawhi Leonard at San Diego State, and Jimmer Fredette at BYU, because Jimmer knows how to get calls. It's not that he gets calls. He gets called the same way that everybody else in the league does, and I want to dispel that myth. He knows how to get calls, and that's a skill that very few guys at this level have. And he's going to do it against UNLV. He's scored a ton of points against UNLV, but a lot of it's come from the free throw line. If UNLV can make it to where 70% of his production or more comes from the free throw line, I think they got a good shot.
And the thing with BYU is that I think is in UNLV's favor is that they're so reliant on one player.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have as much balance as they've had in years past.
Yep.
Some of the players they've counted on or were expected to count on haven't really played to that level. In terms of other BYU guys, is there somebody that UNLV's going to have to key on, or is it just top Jimmer and you kind of stop the whole show?
Well, their big guys have been kind of inconsistent, just like UNLV's. Davies is a scorer, but, you know, I think UNLV is going to be – I think it's going to be a wash in the interior. Who's kind of backup – or not backup, but, you know, role guys on the perimeter are going to step up. You know, on UNLV's side, you got Hawkins, Marshall, you know, Stanback's even kind of there right now. He's been a role guy of late, and they need him to be more than that. On BYU's side, you know, they lost Tavernary to graduation. They lost Tyler Hawes on a two-year mission.
Lost Lloyd.
Chris Collinsworth or Kyle Col- or Chris Col- Kyle Collinsworth, excuse me, the freshman. He hasn't lived up to the billing of being the preseason freshman year. He's shooting 50% from the floor, but he's only averaging about 7 points in that Hawes role. They need more from him. They need Emery to be better than he has this year. He's struggled a little bit. Whose perimeter role guys are going to step up? UNLV's a little deeper, but BYU's just as potent.
Yeah, and I think if you look at X's and O's, probably you're looking at two of the exact same teams.
Yeah.
The fact that the game is on UNLV's home court, the fact that BYU has struggled so mightily here, I think is it seven, including the league tournament straight, they've lost to UNLV?
I think it's eight. Yeah.
Eight straight. Do you think that fact that they just haven't been able to win and that arena is going to play a factor at all mentally with BYU?
I think it does at this point because it's all – with Ferdet, I think it does. And, you know, I think he's a mentally tough guy, but he knows deep down that he's never won here, and I think he's got a little pressure on himself because of that. But – a lot of newer guys on this team with BYU this year. So maybe that helps them. Who knows? I still think UNLV wins this game by about 4 to 7 points.
Okay. Leonard from San Diego State, your opinion, probably the best player in the league, right?
No, it's Ferdet right now.
It's Ferdet right now. Yeah. Is he the best player that UNLV is going to face this year?
Ferdet?
Yeah.
I believe so. Okay. I truly believe so. I think just with the way he carries himself, with the way he can score, with how much he means to the team, I really believe he is. And Leonard's up there. I mean, they've faced some tough players, Jake Pullen. Well, actually, they didn't face Jake Pullen. So, I guess you could, you would definitely say Ferdet, and Leonard's up there, probably two or three.
Yeah, UNLV, you've been at their practice the last 2 days. We've talked about Trevon. What about some of the other guys? How are they practicing with a lot of energy? Is there a step or two more quick? How do they look? Who else do you think is going to step up? Do you think Masamba's going to have a double-double and we're going to be writing about him? Or who's going to be the guy that's going to lead the way?
I'm not going to predict Masamba to have a double-double against anybody. But
he is going
to
start again.
Yeah. I think Chase Stanback, I think he's due for a breakout game at some point. They need him to have one, and BYU doesn't really have a solid defensive answer for him right now. They've got a lot of lengthy guys on the perimeter, but you know, I think Stanback is ripe for a breakout spot here. Practice, they've been doing a good job of keeping the same tempo, trying not to treat this like anything special, treat it like any other game. It's worked for him in the past, and I think it's going to work for him again here tomorrow night.
Yeah, and I think at the beginning of the year when we talked, we said, okay, Quintrell Thomas, this is before he played 1 minute. We said Quintrell Thomas, his physicalness on the inside is going to be a key.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that physicalness has come with a lot of foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much foul trouble that he can't even get on the court. I think this would be a perfect time for somebody big, physical, and long like he is to make an impact because obviously BYU's not good on the interior. And here's a guy who has shown us so many glimpses of breaking through. It would be awesome if he could break through in this game because it's a good spot for somebody like that to break through.
I wouldn't be surprised if they feature him either. That's a great point you bring up. In his first game off the bench last week, he had 8-8 in 17 minutes and only picked up, what, two fouls? Three fouls?
And they were garbage fouls at the end.
So could be a good spot for him. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to showcase him a little bit.
Well, man, predictions. We got – you think they're going to win by 4 to 7, you said earlier.
Yeah, I'll go 81-75 UNLV.
I'm going to and I'm a UNLV grad, and sometimes I'm a homer on these podcasts, but I really think that UNLV, they've played so bad the last week and a half.
No, you're not going
to
do this.
I think and I might have to turn my diploma back in. I think BYU is going to win this game.
Okay.
Now, I know BYU –
nothing wrong with that. I've picked them to lose games,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I know BYU doesn't have a marquee victory to its name. Well, maybe the Arizona one in Salt Lake.
Yeah.
And I thought the Buffalo road game was tough.
Tough road game. Yeah.
But I think BYU just finds a way to get it done. You know, they'd be stupid if they don't play zone defense for a while, right?
Hmm.
And I think it's a close game, but at the end, BYU prevails. My humble opinion.
Folks, I can respect your humble opinion.
Let us know what you think, though. You know, this is not a Ryan and Ray knows everything type of thing. You guys know best.
Everything is up for debate.
Yes. Let us know what you think. Make sure to log on to the site. If you can't make it to the game, You know, Green is going to be twittering the game all day, live blog the whole nine yards, tweeting, I should have said. Was
there
that,
you go. There
that's
you go.
The more accurate word. We'll talk to you after the game. For Ryan Green, I'm Ray Brewer. Thanks for listening.